Christian life begins with repentance and conversion, symbolic of the Lord's Supper and the days of unleavened bread, and our decision to strive to put sin out of our lives and imbibe the principles of Christ. Jesus, recognizing that we cannot overcome the challenges of this life on our own, gave us an earnest of his power, his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are his children. This is what the celebration of Pentecost is about. And with the understanding and with the power that God gives us, we are to use it as a witness and a warning to the nations. This time, let us look at Leviticus 23, if you would turn there, please. Leviticus chapter 23, which God commands us to observe this day. Leviticus chapter 23. We'll begin at verse 1. It reads, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, sacred assemblies, even these are my feasts." Skipping to verse 23, same chapter. It reads, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal." And reading these verses doesn't give us much detail about what this feast is about, but it's only when you explore the scriptures do you see the meaning of this holy day. Please turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10, where the use of the trumpet is detailed. Numbers chapter 10. Right after Leviticus, book of Numbers chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall you make them, that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." Two main types of trumpets were used. One was the straight trumpet, known as the katsosirah in Hebrew. It was also referred in the modern name as a clarion. Second type of trumpet is called the shofar, which is the crooked or ram's horn. The trumpet, as you just read, is used to call the people together and tells them when to travel or to move out. Continuing in verse 3, it reads, "And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward." And the Hebrew word for blow in this verse is teruah, and this day is referred to as Yom Teruah, or the day of blowing. In verse 6, "When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets." Notice that the priesthood is responsible. "And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Eternal your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." Here the alarm notifies God to enter into the battle on our behalf, on the Israelites' behalf in this case that you're reading. Trumpets, therefore, is also symbolic of deliverance. In the story of Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, if you recall, trumpet blasts were made right before the city fell into the hands of Israel. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Eternal, your God. So at the start of every holy day, the shofar was to be blown. There's an announcement that the Sabbath was about to begin. Before the codifying of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 19, verses 16 and 19, the yobel, or the jubilee horn, was blown. The trumpet, as you just read, was the primary instrument for alerting and warning. We just read where the different sounds were used to indicate when to move and when to prepare for war. Today we have all kinds of instruments that we use to alert us. We use the television by paying close attention to world-changing events. We use radios to listen to local and national news, amongst other things. We use it also for weather alerts. We use it to tell us whether heavy traffic is locally. Our cell phones are even used to alert us, making us aware of certain things. Depending on the bank that you have, your phone can even inform you when your checking account has dropped below a certain dollar amount. Ezekiel 33 reminds us of our role to sound the alarm as members of Christ's royal priesthood. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel's right before Daniel, after Lamentations. Ezekiel chapter 33. Beginning at verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1. It reads again, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet, and takes not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Another way of wording it said, his blood would be on him. It would be on him. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So we are responsible for warning the people. We are not responsible for making people listen. We are to try to persuade others, but we are not to mandate adherence to the message, as one church tried to do in the Middle Ages and has attempted to do even now. But that's not the job and role of a Christian. Continuing, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away or consume away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord Eternal, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God takes pleasure in repentance. God takes pleasure in forgiveness. He takes pleasure in conversion. He does not take pleasure in destroying the wicked. Verse 12, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. So this verse should destroy the belief of once saved, always saved. 14, again, when I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. The belief that once lost, always lost, is also false. The lost doesn't have to be lost forever. We are living witnesses to this, being here, being recipients of salvation ourselves. And in verse 16, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. This is part of the message of the Feast of Trumpets, that the lost can be found through repentance. And if the righteous man forsakes Christ, that righteous person can be lost forever. Hence the witness and warning, which is symbolic of this holy day. The previous good deeds of a person do not override current sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, we are told that the trumpet presages the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection chapter. We'll begin at verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians after Romans, after Acts. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, New Testament. Acts, Romans, verse. Begin at verse 45, and it reads, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So Adam, being the first man, was the natural person, and we come from Adam. Afterwards, Jesus Christ represents the spiritual body that we will obtain. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Since we are of the earth, and since we haven't inherited eternal life yet, we are not yet spiritual, in the sense of having a spiritual body. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, meaning at this time that we are not born again. We are currently begotten, but that we are not born again. We will not be born again until we receive eternal life. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Since we're all in the flesh and blood, since we all have flesh and blood, this proves that the kingdom of God is not here yet. the church is a type of the kingdom of God, but again, the fullness of the kingdom of God is not here. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus stated that the angels would gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Before that time comes, however, this world must undergo something, an experience that has never been experienced before. They are going to experience the wrath of God during what is referred to as the Great Tribulation. 3.5 years of trouble going to fall on the people of Israel, consisting primarily of the Western democratic nations, Europe and in North America. Man's attempt to govern himself without exercising godly principles, without acknowledging God, it's going to lead to self-destruction in this time period. This is highlighted in Revelation chapter 8. If you would turn there. Revelation 8, where the trumpet plagues are first described. Revelation 8. This chapter describes the events after the opening of the seventh seal, which represents the day of the Lord. Revelation chapter 8, we will begin verse 1. It reads, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The altar was the place within the tabernacle where burnt offerings and sacrifices were made by the Levites. The censer was a dish or fire pan that contained the burning coals of fire. Burning coals of fire is used as a symbol of God's judgment. If you look at Psalm 140 verses 9 through 11 and Proverbs 25, it kind of gives you that meaning. The incense was used, of course, to provide that sweet aroma, sweet incense, and it was to go before God. The golden altar that you read in that verse was also called the altar of incense, and it was located before the veil, which was between the holy place and the most holy place. Continuing to verse 4, it reads, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, that fire pan, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake, filled it with fire. Again, that's the fire contained in the burning coals representing God's judgment. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. This fire that was contained in these burning coals was cast upon the earth, and it represents God's judgment against mankind for persecuting his church and for persecuting his elect. It represents God's vengeance, which is why it is offered with the prayers of the saints. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So as you can see, the first trumpet sound triggers one third of all vegetation being destroyed. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. It was as if the lava from a great earthquake entered into the waters and destroyed one third of the sea creatures, both clean and unclean, and a third of all maritime activity, causing a third of the seas to turn into blood, similar to the plague against Pharaoh. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, symbolizing a meteor, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. The third trumpet plague curses a third of the rivers and fountains of waters. Fountains of waters similar to Niagara Falls. Fountains of waters similar to the Gacta Cataracts in Peru, which is a 2,500 foot elevation. That's how deep that drop is in near Lima, Peru. Verse 11, and the name of that star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. The fourth trumpet plague appears to shorten the days and affect the brightness and glory of the galaxies, perhaps fulfilling Matthew 24 and verse 22, except the days be shortened, no man, no flesh would be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, the days shall be shortened. The glory on and the moon was also affected with the opening of the sixth seal as well, I believe it's in chapter 6. And in verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So the last three trumpet plagues are represented by the three rows, as you just read, or symbols of grief on the earth. Without reading the scriptures in regards to the last three trumpets, I'll just summarize. The fifth trumpet plague represents that first woe, describes an angel opening up a bottomless pit, and out of that pit a locust, and the locust comes out and he torments all those individuals who have not the seal of God on their foreheads, and that includes the beast and the false prophet. The sixth trumpet plague, or the second woe, includes the destruction of a third of mankind by the four angels who were restrained at the Euphrates River, leading an army of 200 million to carry out this punishment. The seventh trumpet, or the third woe, consists of seven last plagues contained in seven vials, or bowls, which is what a vial is. It destroyed the rivers and seas, including the Euphrates River. It dried it up. The bowls, vials, were poured out on those who had the mark of the beast. It was poured out on those who blasphemed God's name. It was poured out on the sun to scorch men with fire. It was poured on the throne or headquarters of the beast. Ultimately, this third woe destroys spiritual Babylon. All islands and mountains were removed at the pouring out of this vial. Men were also tormented by a plague of hail. What this feast points to, however, is noted in Revelation chapter 11. If you would turn there, please, read a few verses from Revelation chapter 11. We'll begin at verse 14. It reads, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were happy, angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The final trumpet blast results in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to put all enemies under his feet and to establish the kingdom of God. This is what trumpets is all about. But until that time, we are to remain steadfast and be strong in faith. Trumpets, besides all the things that we talked about, is also used for the obvious, to give glory and honor to God. Please turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. It's the last psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 150. Okay, the page is turning. I hear turning pages. And since I hear turning pages, I'll start anyway. Psalm 150, beginning at verse 1. Says, Praise ye the Eternal. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Eternal. Praise ye the Eternal. At the dedication of the temple, 120 priests blew trumpets as a musical tune to give honor and praise to God. But you know, there was a time in history when it was wise to discontinue blowing the trumpet. Turn to the book of Amos, please. Book of Amos. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos. Amos was a shepherd who lived in Tekoa. Tekoa was 5 miles south of Bethlehem and 10 miles south of Jerusalem. Amos was a shepherd who prophesied during the days of Jeroboam and King Uzziah. 2 years before the earthquake, which coincided with the imposing leprosy that fell on Uzziah. The prophecy of Amos was 30 years before the fall of Israel. It was a time when Israel was blessed economically. They were having big fun, and they were having much success, and they got caught up in their success. Book of Amos, turn to chapter 5, if you're not already there. Beginning at verse 1. It says, Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The lamentation, or the dirge, the mournful song. The virgin of Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. The virgin of Israel is gone. The purity and unblemished character of Israel is gone. The innocence and youth which made her beloved by God was no more because of wickedness, because of her perverseness. Verse 3, For thus said the Lord Eternal, The city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. In other words, they would not be successful in war. They would go out to war expecting to conquer, but they would come back soundly defeated. Verse 4, for thus said the Eternal unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live. The answer to man's problems, isn't it? Seek ye me, and you shall live. Learn his ways. Apply his principles to your life. Put sin out of your lives. Put corruption away. But man will not do it because he feels he has a better way. Verse 5, but seek not Bethel or Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. These three chief locations, chief cities, were the locations where they practiced idolatry, where they bowed down to the statues. And those, so that's why God is directing those three locations within the nation. Verse 6, seek ye the Eternal, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment to wormwood, there's that word again, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that makes the seven stars and Orion, and turns the shadow of death into the morning, and makes the day dark with night, and calls for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Eternal is his name, that strengthens the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. Seek him, the message is saying, who causes you to be successful in war. And now verse 10. Listen to this. They hate him that rebukes in the gate, and they abhor him that speaks uprightly. The prophet and prophetess, the man and woman of God, the child of God who's preaching repentance, who's calling out sin, are hated for it. The wicked judges of this time, they hated the prophets of God, because the prophets exposed what they were doing. Verse 11, it continues, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. In Israel's day, as you may know, none of the kings worshiped God. They were all idolaters, and they all exploited the poor because they felt, hey, it was the easiest thing to do. While they lived in lavish homes, this time consisting of hewn stones, the princes and civil magistrates took the very little food that the poor had obtained. Verse 12, for I know, God says, your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. In other words, they look out for number one, themselves. They take away the rights of the poor because of the bribe. Verse 13, therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, because it is an evil time. The prudent, the wise, shall keep silence in that time, for it's an evil time. Why? Why didn't the trumpet of the individual sound off or blow louder during this time? It's because the people and the leadership rejected the sound. They rejected God's message of truth and liberty. They rejected this message of justice. The wicked ones instead killed those who would dare preach a message that they hated. Therefore, the wise thing to do, the prudent thing to do, is to keep silent. The trumpet of the watchman had to go underground. There is a time to blow, and there's a time for silence. Proverbs 28 says, when the wicked rises up, men hide themselves. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. The nations today are trying to silence the people of God with their unjust laws, just as they tried to do in the past. They don't understand that the one we serve has the preeminence. He is higher than every human authority. He is higher than every court system, and he is higher than every legislature. The priesthood, as I've stated earlier, is responsible for sounding the alarm and blowing the trumpet. We are that priesthood. The trumpet was made to be blown. It is an instrument that captures attention. It's meant to be loud. The message of God will not be silenced. The people of God are limited to proclaiming the message of witness and warning to the world. We are not allowed to execute vengeance. There's a church out there that think that they're supposed to do that. However, what the church is not authorized to do, when the church is not authorized to blow out of wisdom, God will do through trumpets blown by angels in that day to come, because God will not be silenced. The day of trumpets not only reminds us of our responsibility to call others to repentance, it also reminds us of the deliverance and salvation that God provided us, ultimately fulfilled when the Savior, the Anointed One, returns to this earth with power and glory to bring justice and to grant eternal life to his own. Trumpets are used, as we've previously read, to honor and praise God. Glory and honor to God. He is worthy to be praised. His mercy endures forever. Have a happy Feast of Trumpets.